Welcome, Laura, to 92.1 FM, Muslim Community Radio.
Having me, guys. Appreciate it again, actually.
Thanks for
accepting.
Thank you.
Laura, we've spoken to you before on Keeping Australia Beautiful, and you were our first show, actually.
Was it?
Yes. And we were very happy with that. We thought we'll get you again and talk about composting since it's Recycling Week this week. Can you tell us first about yourself, please?
Yeah, no worries. So I've been working at Keep Australia Beautiful for about 3 years now as the brand and marketing manager. I started volunteering with them while I was on my maternity leave, and I just loved that I could, you know, apply my skill set to supporting something that I'm really passionate about. And I've got a couple of kids, and we just love being outdoors and, you know, love being at the beach and going on hikes, and my kids are obsessed with nature and wildlife. So, you know, being an environmentalist, you know, like, close to my heart, both at a professional and personal level. So, you know.
Well, you know what? That sounds fascinating. How old are your children?
I've got a 3-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a crazy dog who's 1 year old. So I don't know. There's a lot of intensity in our household.
So you're a very busy lady.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Not much peace and quiet happens.
Okay.
Now, we know that you're campaigning this week about how to reduce waste, and you have a campaign, Contain Your Waste Challenge. Can you explain to our listeners about this?
Yeah, so the main key areas around Contain Your Waste are sort of focusing on the purchasing decisions of people. So what are you buying? Are there more sustainable options available? And what are these items packaged in? So just creating awareness around the purchasing decision itself. And then we look at the consumption behaviour and the waste footprint. So do you really need the item? Are we consuming more than what we need? Are we being excessively wasteful?
Yeah.
And then we're looking at the bin usage itself. So what actually goes in which bin, and understanding what is compostable and what is recyclable. And basically, if something's not compostable and not recyclable, then it has to go to landfill. That's the only other option. So, just sort of understanding is getting people to really take a step back and look at their consumption, their purchasing decisions, and their bin usage.
Yeah, that's really important. Lots of people may be over-consuming these days, and I think if they just be mindful of the waste that they're producing, then maybe they can reduce this waste footprint.
Yeah, 100%. And that's really, you know, it's just all about bringing awareness to that, taking those little micro steps, you know.
Can you please describe how the challenge could be completed?
Yeah, so we've sort of broken it down into 5 steps. So step one is really deciding where you're going to do the challenge. So is it going to be at home? Is it going to be at work or at school? Then looking at getting the buy-in from those people in your household or the workplace, which is often the most challenging part. You deciding that you're going to do it is one thing, but getting everyone else on board is the more difficult part.
That's right.
Then we step two, selecting your container. So it could be a jar, it could be an ice cream container, a bucket, a little small bathroom bin, whatever you think is achievable for the week.
Yeah.
The first time I did it, I chose like a peanut butter jar. This week we've gone to an ice cream container, so I have actually upped my ante a little bit. We've got a bit more room to work with, so it's really just setting an achievable challenge.
Yeah.
Step three is planning out your week, so writing your shopping lists, planning your lunches, dinners, knowing your movements for the week. That's really important. Step four is about being honest with yourself during the challenge and what you're putting in your container. It's not about passing or failing. It's more about just understanding your waste behaviour and your footprint. And if you exceed your jar, it's not the end of the world. You just start filling up another container just with the same intention to try and reduce your waste as you go.
Yeah.
And step five is about being a binfluencer, we call it, which is really about sharing your content on socials, getting the word out there, tagging us at Keep Australia Beautiful. You can upload videos or photos, whatever, to our website if you want to, at cab.org.au.
Yeah.
And just trying to encourage other people to join along and see what you're doing, you know, just spread the word.
Yeah.
Right.
And how long does the challenge last?
So the challenge is for 1 week, but it's something that we encourage people to do at any time throughout the year, really, you know, because this week doesn't always suit everybody. Can't always be this week. So it's more about picking a week that you think is achievable for you. And some people like to do it for longer than a week, you know, do it for a month, really test themselves. And obviously the more you do it, the longer you do it, the more chance you've got to actually start to impact your that change behaviour in your waist behaviour. So, yeah.
If someone completes the challenge, do they win something?
No, unfortunately, there are no prizes.
Right.
I think we might have done it for the first year, but it's more about just the personal satisfaction of knowing that you're doing your bit to keep Australia beautiful and reduce what's going into our landfill. So, yeah. That should be prize enough.
It is, actually.
It is. It's important. Now, in regard to, like, completing the challenge, I mean, like, it's easy to say we're going to contain all the waste in one container, but I think that it's harder than just saying that. Do you have any tips to help complete the challenge?
Yeah, so I think I always find it helpful to review what your waste from last week, the week prior, actually looked like.
Okay.
So go through a little bin scrummage and see what your main waste contributors are for that week, and then start to think out what alternatives you could use for the week of the challenge. So for us, our biggest pain points are around kids' lunches, the wrappers, you know, all of that sort of stuff, and really planning out a plastic-free lunchbox.
Yeah. Right.
So it's about being prepared for the week, you know, like get your bake on, banana bread, cookies, muffins, slices, scones, frittatas, make some popcorn, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just get prepared so that then, you know, that those lunch boxes are, you know, more, you know, plastic free.
Yeah.
And then also it's about thinking, you know, when you go to the actual shops itself, like, you know, buying a pasta that's packaged in a box rather than the soft plastic.
Yeah.
Buying, you know, cooking sauces that are in glass jars rather than the squeezy packs. Buying, buying stock in a tin rather than the individually wrapped stock cubes, and your porridge in an oats box rather than the granola in a plastic bag. Like all of that sort of stuff. It's just about going to the supermarket aisle sometimes and just going through and looking what's packaged sustainably, and then therefore that's going to not create waste in my container, you know?
Yeah. Well, since you're saying that, can you explain to our listeners the importance of recycling?
Yeah. So, you know, recycling has a multitude of benefits, really, and we could talk about this forever, but just at real top level, the number one thing and the most obvious thing, and this Contain Your Waste Challenge is connected to, is about reducing and taking pressure off landfills. So, you know, plastic bottles take hundreds of years to degrade.
Yeah.
And even then they don't fully biodegrade. They degrade into microplastics that continue to pollute our soil and our ocean.
That's right.
So it's really an obvious choice to try and recycle these materials rather than putting them into landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, we want to conserve our natural resources as much as possible, you know, rather than continuing to mine new ones, you know, just the act of extraction, you know, refining, the processing of raw materials, it's more pollution, more greenhouse gases, more energy. So, you know, recycling is just an obvious choice.
I guess these days people are more aware of recycling, like, since they've stopped the plastic bags in the shops as well. Like, you can't get a plastic bag anymore. It has to be a recyclable bag. I think that's a great idea. And I know that it's implemented at schools as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that just those little steps, and it's important for the big players to get involved, you know, because it's, you know, we obviously do all of our bits, and that's why, you know, as a buyer we have certain power that we don't really realise we have, that if we all start to buy more sustainably and put that pressure back on the manufacturers, then organically they're forced to start packaging things in more sustainable, you know, solutions.
That's true.
Do have that buyer behaviour, but we just have to start implementing it and buying sustainably.
Yep.
Now, I wanted to ask you about soft plastics, because I was really excited when I started seeing that we can recycle soft plastics, only to hear that it's been stopped.
I know. It is. The old Red Cycle scheme collapse is one of the biggest pain points, I think, for everybody that's invested heavily in the sustainability industry. You know, it was just such a huge disappointment at the time.
Do you know why it has been stopped?
Oh, look, I think a long conversation.
Oh, okay.
A long conversation. but basically, you know, the ladies that had started REDcycle had completely the best intentions at heart, but it just got too big for what they could actually capably do, and their manufacturing plant. And so, you know, they essentially just started stockpiling a heap of soft plastics, waiting to then recycle them into other products. So they were converting them into products that were like, you know, like park benches and tables and boardwalks and all that sort of stuff. But it's all about supply and demand. So we really needed demand to come in from, you know, industry and councils and stuff to encourage them or allow them to then convert those things into other products.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the idea was brilliant. Mm-hmm. It was just then not supported by industry and government. And that's where it fell over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think now they've got a new task force in place that's been taking place in the last couple of years, the Soft Plastic Stewardship Australia. Mm-hmm. And I did get some information last week that I can't really share right now, but it is exciting because I think that there are about to be some new steps forward taken, hopefully. So the rollout plan, hopefully they're going to start sharing that soon. So stay tuned, watch this space.
Yes,
and
we
hopefully
will.
we have a new solution.
Maybe we can have you back on again to explain that.
Yeah, we'd love that.
Can you tell us what kind of things can we use to make our compost bin?
Yeah, so composting is another area that I think sometimes creates a little bit of confusion. Hopefully by now most councils around Australia have got a FOGO green bin in place, but we still have our compost bin at home even though we still use our FOGO as well.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing is understanding what can go into a compost bin. So there's the obvious things people know, your apple cores, banana peels, your lemon rinds, you know, your leftovers from the fridge and lunch boxes. People get stuck with things like meat, you know, meat and bones and fish and eggshells, all of that stuff can go in. Coffee's brilliant, like coffee grounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually so nutrient rich for the soil, so coffee grounds is fantastic. Tea leaves and even tea bags. There are, like, you hear a lot of people say no tea bags in the compost, but I think that's because a lot of people don't necessarily know how to analyse what is a compostable tea bag versus a non-compostable tea bag. So those silk-lined tea bags are obviously non-compostable. They've got plastics in them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously anything that's got a staple in it needs to come out. Yeah. But most there are a lot of tea bags, and if you just read the boxes, you know, I buy a Tetley brand. It's a biodegradable tea bag, you know, and that can go in your compost bin. You just remove, as I said, anything, if there is a staple or something like that, that just comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of your sauce dregs and stuff, you know, rather than a lot of people, you know, get a, you know, say you got a salsa or an oyster sauce or something, so they go, oh, yuck, it's like full of that. That's got to go in the rubbish bin. Well, you could easily just pour your sauces into your compost bin, rinse out your glass, and your glass goes in the recycling bin. So that's such an easy one that you see a lot of people just chuck the whole jar, like a glass jar, you know, in the rubbish bin, which it doesn't need to be, or moldy cheese, yogurt, all that stuff. Pet hair is an interesting one. Pet hair can, if you've got a big fluffy dog like I do, all of his hair goes into the compost bin.
Wow.
Paper towels, that goes in the compost bin.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of stuff.
Wow. Okay. That's really great.
And I have another question. Maybe you can clarify for us. So the green bin, can we put these compost things into the green bin?
The caddy liners. The caddy liners. So, you know, it depends actually, because I have a beach house, and at my beach house they encourage you to put the compostable caddy liners, and then at my home here, they tell you you don't. You're not allowed to put
them
in.
Yeah. We only put the grass and
tree
branches. Yeah.
And to be honest, you know, one of my, and it's interesting you bring that up, because someone asked me about this on the weekend, and I was actually going to ring my council and have a chat to them about it, because my theory on this is, and don't, you know, don't peg me on this.
No.
But my theory is that a lot of those those caddy liners and stuff that you can buy are sometimes greenwashing. So they're like 50% biodegradable, and then obviously 50% they're plastic, and they're maybe non-compostable, they're just biodegradable bags. And so I think that sometimes maybe the councils put those restrictions on because they can't always trust the consumers to make the right purchasing decision at that point and buy a 100% compostable, home compostable bag. My theory is if it's compostable at home, it should be compostable because I put them in my garden. Do you know what I mean? I put all those 100% home compostable plastics all go in my garden and they compost just fine. So if they work in my garden, they should work in the council's garden. But don't hold me to that. But I think the most important thing is, you know, reaching out to your individual council and just seeing what they can do.
Maybe we can do that. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. There was one thing that I was just going to mention too that I only just discovered recently was thermal paper on receipts when we were just talking about recycling before and also composting. You know when you get a receipt from Coles or, you know,
The paper receipts.
Those thermal paper receipts. So they've got quite toxic ink on them. So they can't be composted. So you can't put them in your home compost bin and they can't go in recycling because thermal paper is non-recyclable. So just keep that one in the back of your mind. Keep your thermal receipts. Have to all go in your waste bin. So they'll go into your container.
Now, as someone who's done the challenge before, was it difficult for you?
You know what? I actually feel like this is my third time doing the challenge. And I think the trickiest part is not so much the day-to-day routine, like your Monday to Friday is pretty routine and doesn't change much week to week. It's the weekends that get really tricky. We got stitched up in the first year that we did it. We invited some friends around on the last night and they brought all of this stuff to our house that I had to try and squeeze into my jar. You know, so I guess that's the hard thing. You can't always predict what's going to happen on a weekend. And whatever. So
and you
I
did
guess
say it was a week's challenge, so you didn't have much time.
Correct. So, you know, it's just about being as planned as possible. And if you can avoid maybe hosting that week, that's probably the best thing to do, or just pick a week that you're not hosting, you know. It just makes it a little bit easier. But we still did it. We just jammed it really hard into the broke it all down and squashed it into the jar and managed to get the lid on. So, you know, we've still been able to achieve it each time. But that's why we've gone for a slightly bigger container this time because we've got a few things on this weekend. We've gone for an ice cream bucket this year.
Wow. That's all right. Okay. Can you tell us how did you manage to get your whole family on board?
Yeah, the kids are pretty easy. It's the partner, keeping tabs on the partner. That's the tricky.
How did you convince him?
He's not an easy convince. It's just about a matter of following him around and making sure he's not doing anything sneaky in putting things in my rubbish bin. The main thing I can say is just leave the container out on the bench so it's just a constant reminder to everybody. Because it's really easy to forget and you know, go into those natural habits of just chucking stuff in the rubbish bin or just grabbing whatever from the cupboard or
you know what, it's true what you're saying, it is a habit, but when you get into the habit of recycling and then composting, then it becomes a good habit. You're so passionate about it, you make it easy. You make it sound easy.
Correct. And I think that's the main thing. As I said, the more you do the challenge, the more then it just starts to become part of your day-to-day and you just start to do these things naturally. Like, you should see our landfill bin. We have nothing just week to week, especially since my daughter's out of nappies. She has a night nappy now and that's it. But that's the only thing that really goes into our rubbish bin is her night nappies. You know, there's not much in there. So it's good. We're getting there.
Good on you.
No one's perfect, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, like, maybe your children are young, but sometimes you get those teenagers that want to rebel against you and they don't want to settle for no packaging, no chips, no snacks that are packaged. So what are you going to do then?
Kick them out the house. that's tricky, isn't it? You know, they're the first ones to do a Macca's stop on the way home and grab their, you know, grab their drink and their chips and their whatever. And a lot of that stuff is recyclable. Like, this is my don't get me started on fast food outlets. You know, why do fast food outlets not have recycling bins in their in the fast food in store? You know what I mean? Like majority have most of their stuff's recyclable. It can go into a recycle bin, yet they have one rubbish bin where the whole lot goes, and that's a bugbear for me. So the only thing I would say to that is just encourage the kids to bring the stuff home, rather than just leaving it there. And then that way, at least you have control over, you know, what items will go in the recycling bin and what has to go into your container.
Well, you know what? That was really informative and we really enjoyed it. I hope our listeners did enjoy it and learn something as well. Maybe they can start doing the challenge and maybe they can start composting as well. Thank you so much, Laura. Go on.
I was just going to say I'd love just to reiterate the that if anyone does decide to take on the challenge, please share it with us and, and tag us at Keep Australia Beautiful on Instagram or on Facebook, and we'd love to see what you're doing.
We'll give them the information of where they can contact you, and hopefully they will. And maybe you can get more results and we'll have you again for your next adventure.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See you. Bye.
Bye.